Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're continuing on discussing tithing, giving, in the Scriptures. We're now discussing the New Testament approach to giving and comparing and contrasting with the Old Covenant approach, which is tithing. And last week we're talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul is addressing his right basically to be paid for ministry. Now, when we discuss the whole concept that tithing is very clear in the Scriptures, it's very scriptural. We're not arguing that tithing is not scriptural, but it is so clear in the Scriptures as to who should tithe, what the conditions are, what the list of items that includes the tithe, and how it is a mistake for us to pull one item out of that list and emphasize that as a way to meet needs or minister to God or fulfill what God has asked, and then we'll get the blessing. We've used the example of if you give your child a list of 10 things to do, and then if you do these 10 things, I'll take you to the store to buy the bike you want. And he goes down to the number 10 thing and checks that thing off and says, okay, now we can go to the store and buy the bike I want because I did the thing that's right next to that and ignoring the other 9 things on the list. And that's what we have a tendency to do, especially when we look at Malachi. Because all Malachi is a list of grievances that God has against his people. And by the end of Malachi, he's so frustrated, he says, look, if you'll just do this, if you'll just turn and show you're going to change your ways, and as an example of that, start tithing. Start following the law. Start being kind. Start being wise. Start being what I made you to be my people. And then see if you just start. You can't go back and undo the mistakes, but if you just turn and start, you wouldn't believe how generous I can be. And yet we have turned it, we have pulled out, if you tithe, I will bless you so much that the storehouses won't be able to contain it. And we have tied those two together rather than tying our turning, or the Israelites turning to rejoin what the law has told them to do, that then God would turn and bless them. When we start talking about that, when we start saying, well, scripturally, tithing is Old Testament, giving is New Testament, people start going, well, wait a minute, if we didn't tithe, who would pay for the ministry? Who would pay for the church? Who would pay for missions? And it's the same answer. Is if it's what God wants to get done, he will lay it on people's hearts to pay for it. And we'll get into this in more detail. But when it comes, this is specifically what Paul is addressing, is now that we don't have the law commanding us to send money to the church, that's off the table, how then do we decide if we should or how much or to whom do we give? And again, we'll get into how to address this on a personal level. But what Paul is addressing here is even in the under the old covenant was the principle of when you are served, you pay for being served. His examples are whoever goes to war at his own expense. When the king sends out his soldiers to do battle for him, he does not expect the soldiers to buy their own weapons, to pay for their own food. He takes on that responsibility basically by hiring them to be his soldiers. And likewise, when we have ministers who minister the word of God and who minister true ministry, and this is a catch there, if you accept that ministry, you are accepting his work. You are accepting that responsibility to compensate. Now, when we look at what Paul is saying, he is going even beyond that, that those who he has ministered to personally have an even greater debt, and he claims that. Now, we all know that Paul became a tent maker, and people refer to that as him being a tent maker so he wouldn't burden the people because they couldn't afford it. Well, that's not at all the situation. Is because they could afford it, and he did not need the money. He was wealthy in and of himself. He took that job as a tent maker to shame the people, and then had to call them, in this example, had to call them on it because they said, oh, well, good, okay, he's making his own money. We don't even have to worry about that then. We don't have to give this another thought. He can just minister to us and make his tents and make his own living, and we don't even need to care about how he's going to be taken care of. So he had to call them on it. They missed the point. So Paul, in his very straightforward manner, made it very clear that they had missed the point. And he even takes them back to the law of Moses. You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? That he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. And I would say he should be first partaker. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? And here he makes that personal connection to the Corinthians, to the church at Corinth, his church. If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? So again, this ties you in. If you are in a fellowship, if a church or any kind of a situation where you are being ministered to, your first debt is to that minister. It's not, I would be suspicious and I would question God if he says, you know, no, don't support the one who's been ministering to you. Support this ministry across town or send your money to a mission in Africa, for instance, or send it over here. Paul's a great example of him saying, no, the first who serves you is who you owe. And we'll get into other examples later. But I think he's very, you know, from reading this, you can almost tell his feelings are kind of hurt. That he has to go to this length of saying, I have ministered to you, I have taken care of you. I didn't want to make it that clear and tell you, you need to be taking care of me, even though I'm single, even though I don't need your money, it is still good for you to be taking care of my needs. He contrasts with others, with Peter and Barnabas, who were traveling with their families. Their wives and sometimes their children were traveling with them, and they were taken care of. But because Paul was single and started making his own tents to raise his own money, they thought, okay, he's a bachelor. He doesn't need any help. And here he's calling them on it. Clearly, not for his sake. It probably would have been easier if he just went about, you know, taking money out of his own bank account and ministering to people. Probably would have been easier on him if he just let them not fulfill their obligation. But he needed to teach them, again, what is the character of God? It is to give. And when we pull back from that and resist that idea that our first character nature is to give, where he is teaching that this is our primary opportunity to express giving, is to those who serve us. For instance, if you go to a restaurant, they serve you food. Now, they have the prices on the menu, but you wouldn't, at least most of us, would not dream of saying, thank you, that's a great meal, putting the napkin beside the plate and walking out and leaving without paying for the food. So the whole idea, pulling back to what is the difference between tithing and giving in caring for ministers, it's we are going from a law that says you tithe 10% of your income to the priests, and then the priesthood will take it from there. And those who then, every aspect of the responsibility of the priesthood is taking care of that. Now, there's also offerings and other ways that those obligations were taken care of. But when we look at that, there was a separation there. There was a distinction between the 10% going in and the services being provided. In giving, there is a direct link. And that's what Paul is saying. You ask God. There's nothing automatic about it. There's not an automatic amount. There's not an automatic to who do you give it. There's not an automatic when do you give it, how often, in what form. Nothing is automatic. You start with the assumption that you are a giver. Then you start with the idea, Lord, who do you want me to give to? How do you want me to give? When? Where? Etc. And we start with who is serving us. Who is ministering to us on behalf of God, providing the encouragement, whatever it is that he is doing in your life. Again, a lot of these, you know, wonderful things go on in church. There's different, you know, ministries and there's different outreaches. Your first question is, if you're in a Sunday school and you don't go to a main worship service, isn't that where you're getting your food? Is in that Sunday school? Is in the, you know, so those are the kinds of questions you ask. How do you give in relation to what you receive? This brings into a question a lot of the ways that churches and fellowships are set up, that there's only one way to give, and most of the time it's by tithing. You know, if you had a great Sunday school teacher, you might not be able to give them money, even though I challenge you on that. You have a great Sunday school teacher, write them a check. So this is what Paul is challenging them on, that he cannot allow them to walk past the opportunity to give to him. It is due him. It is the first place their giving should go. And he tried dealing with them subtly. They didn't get it, so he had to be blunt. So, continuing on in Corinthians, he talks about how he did not call them on that he had the right to have his needs met, but he didn't call them on it because he didn't want to feel like he was trying to claim what God had done. That he was just the minister, God gave the increase. But they didn't read it that way. So in 14, he says, "Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void." In other words, he didn't need the money. This was not about money. This was about them ignoring their true nature. Their need as a spirit being to give. So then he talks more about his own desires to minister, not being tied to being paid, but that his reward is to preach the gospel, and that that's not going to be interfered with by the money. So he's trying to, again, draw that distinction between money, the whole giving part, that it's not based, he's bringing it up because not because he needs it, but because they need to give. So when we talk about, okay, if we don't tithe, how do people get paid? Well, we grow up. We spirit beings grow up, learn how to give. With freedom comes responsibility. Because we're not bound by the law, we are now bound by our new nature, which is love. At its root, giving. We are to provide for those who minister before the Lord and to his people. Of course, the poor and needy should likewise be cared for. But the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Testament is that how this is done, how the ministry is cared for, how the poor are taken care of, how the needy's needs are met, is directed on a personal level by the one who knows the needs best, the Holy Spirit. Hopefully that answers. I know this is a big issue and a big question. And when you understand it, when you get it, it does cause problems, because the way our ministries are set up does not make this real easy. Like I said, if you belong to a fellowship, and let's say there, you know, some places have a rotation of ministers, or say your kids are in, you know, a Sunday school class and they're really getting taught, or you go to a community Bible study, or you belong to a church cell group, and that's where the Lord encourages you, ministers to you. It's often difficult to say, this is where I am giving first. But these are things we need to learn. This is the reason God spends so much time on money. And giving financially. It's not because it's important to him. It's because it's important to us. Finances are important to us. What we do with them, how we control them, they're important to us. So that's why God spends so much time, and he does. He probably talks more about finances than anything in a variety of different ways, than anything in the Bible. But I think Paul's frustration comes through very clearly because he doesn't want to be called, you know, he doesn't want to be thought of as wanting the money. Oh, you just want more money. It's like, no, I don't need any of your money, but you need to give it. You're missing out. You're drawing the wrong conclusions, and the only way I can help you to learn to draw the right conclusions is to claim what you owe me. So hopefully that gives you an understanding. Again, this is not for you to go, okay, now I have to figure out, instead of tithing to the church, I'm going to tithe over here, I'm going to tithe over there. No. The difference is you go to God. You ask him, Lord, I am now a giving person. Is there anywhere I need to change where I'm giving? And if you're tithing, just stop using that word. Start calling it giving. And start saying, Lord, I'm giving 10% to this church. I'm not sure what they're doing with it. Maybe that's where I should start. I'd like to start giving 5% to the general church and then 5% to that particular Sunday school teacher because they're doing a great job with my son. Or I get my encouragement from this cell group over here. We only meet every other week, but you know, I come away encouraged and with insight and ready to take on the rest of my life. I'm getting closer and closer to you, and I know, have direction for my life. And I'm giving them like $5 every time I go. Lord, do I need to adjust that? That's how you do it. It's not, okay, you know, do I need to cause a ruckus? Lord may say, no, you need to stop. If this is where you're being fed, you need to honor that. And this is how you do it. Now, they may not be willing to accept it. That's not your problem. It's your responsibility to give it. What they do with it, that's not your problem. But it's your responsibility to give it. Give yourself time to think this through, but see if it doesn't make sense. And again, more if you have any additional questions, especially on this section. And just because Paul goes back and forth between the example of his own apostleship and then goes back into the law for examples, he's showing how God is consistent. He's showing how his nature doesn't change. Our relationship with him is altered, and we're in a different relationship with him, but who he is doesn't change. So just because he goes back to the law of Moses, that doesn't mean he's mixing law and grace. Again, he's reflecting that God's nature doesn't change. This is also typified when Jesus was walking around and he and his disciples were walking through a field and ate some grain as they were walking through the field. They were accused of working on the Sabbath. Jesus' reply was the Sabbath made for man or man for the Sabbath? He was showing the consistency of God's nature. He was not out to offend the law, but the law was a gift from God. Not a way to control him, not a way to restrict God. So we could say that this is the way we look at caring for ministers. And again, through that we see that Paul also addresses taking care of the needy and taking care of others. And we know that they have those needs, and we ask. That's how we find out. And there may be times when God doesn't want you to give anything. But he may ask you to save up. There may be a big need he wants you to save up for. This is true stewardship, not making any assumptions about what he wants you to do with your money. So then he talks about caring for those in need. And that's in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 4. Now this is kind of interesting, because we've been talking about how God never commands anybody to give. And then Paul comes along, and this is what he says. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. This first may sound like a command, where he says, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. But we're going to look at additional translations of the orders, and then look at just what he's saying in general. In the New American Standard, he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. In the King James Version, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. And then the New International Version. Now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. The bottom line is Paul didn't want to have to worry about collecting when he got there. He didn't want to have anybody going without selling things so that they could give what they wanted to give. They wanted people to give on purpose and to plan to give. Now, again, the people that they were sending this money to were in desperate need. And so Paul was, you know, going from church to church saying, we need to help our brothers. And they were saying, how do we do that? Now that we don't tithe, how do we do that? He's saying, you do it, you plan. You put some aside on a regular basis, and then when I come around, I'll take it, and I'll either send one of your people with the money, or if I go myself, they'll go with me. Says you just treat it very matter-of-factly. Understand, okay, if you're going to give, take it seriously. You plan for it. You don't wait till the last minute. You don't borrow to do it. You put some aside when you can, and you make plans, and you take it seriously. So when it came time to do it, Paul didn't want to have to worry about pressuring anybody or making people give because they felt guilty. He gave God plenty of time to work on the hearts of the people, and so that their families would not do without. Now, they may do without going and doing something fun, but again, like their parents could teach their kids, we're not going to go do something over here because our fellow Christians are suffering over here, and we're going to send them money. So by not having that time pressure when he got there, God could have the opportunity to speak to people's individuals' hearts. Their spirit being could have an opportunity to make itself known in each one of their lives. again, Galatia, the churches at Galatia, had already asked, Paul, how do we do this? And he simply said, just told the Corinthians, I've told the Galatians how to do it, do it the same way. And this, if anything, this is the pattern for how to minister to those in need. You plan for it. You ask God what to give. You plan. You structure it. You take your time. You don't do it out of emotion. You don't do it out of being guilted into it. You decide, you plan, you do it. So we will pick it up here. Next time, we'll go on to, again, in Corinthians, Paul tells about how each of us should give as we purpose in our heart. So drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. Until next week, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.